Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume, improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table. Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
I know a guy who went on Food Network, you know, first one out, you know, hashtag celebrity chef on the profile. Hello, food fam. This is the Walk and Talk podcast, where you will find the perfect blend of food, fun, and cooking knowledge. I'm your host, Carl Fiadini. Welcome to the number one food podcast in the country and the official podcast for the New York, California, and Florida restaurant shows, the Pizza Tomorrow Summit, and the U.S. Culinary Open at NAFM. We're recording on site at Ibis Images Studios, where food photography comes alive and I get to eat it. Email us to learn more info at TheWalkInTalk.com. Today's guest is someone who defies every industry stereotype and does it with quiet power, sharp insight, and an unapologetic honesty. Chef Brent Weathers isn't chasing titles or clout, he's chasing truth. A self-described under-the-radar chef with Michelin-level experience, Brent has worked behind the scenes in everything from restaurant openings to cookbooks to pop-ups and festivals. But what sets him apart isn't just the food. It's his voice. Through his social media series, Brentflix, and raw behind-the-line footage, Brent calls out dysfunction, exposes neglect, and shines a light on what's really happening in the kitchens all across the country. He's not loud. He's real. He's not trying to be viral. He's trying to be heard. With humor, humility, and a deep respect for the craft, and a big grounding in faith, Brent reminds us that the heart of this industry isn't in the office. It's at the stove, where the fire is literal and the passion is personal. Let's welcome Chef Brent to the program. How you doing, my man?
My goodness, that was the best thing I've ever heard. That was wonderful, man. Thank you. That's a heck of an introduction. I appreciate that.
Well, a man with your stature, your online prowess and...
Oh, crap.
No, man, you know, listen, I've been following you for a long time. You're good people, and I like all the stuff that you're doing.
Thank you.
You've said some stuff. Like, you get into some things, and you've said that you've won by staying in the kitchen and avoiding the stress of titles. What does that mean?
Okay, so I believe if you want to work with a chef who has years of experience, I almost said celebrity chef, but I didn't. Even I just said it, but I won't take it back anyway. But, you know, if you work with a chef with all this experience, the purpose of working with or under a chef or a restaurant that's been around for a while is so you can actually work with the chef. So I don't want to... My situation at the time was if you had titles and stuff, you wasn't able to work directly with the chef. So the chef that I was working for he traveled quite a bit. He did pop-ups. We opened up restaurants. We, you know, he had a cookbook open. I was there for all of that. Now, had I had to be behind a desk and go to meetings, I would have missed all that. So it's kind of like, it reminds me of the gangsters where the, you know, they all have the same stories. Like, hey, you know, I used to drive Mr., you know, the whatever the mob boss's name is, you know. And that's how the guy got his first gig. He just drove the boss around. He had the umbrella. He held the guy's umbrella, maybe helped him count money. You know, and he just heard, as he's driving the gangster around, he heard the conversations. He saw he got the ins and outs of the racket. You know what I mean? And so with my situation where I was at, I ended up winning because I had zero title, zero responsibility. And I was able to go on the road and get away with, you know, leaving and going on for 2 weeks where there was a chef de cuisine. I had to be at the restaurant, you know, and also too, I just don't like, man, these days if you're a chef, you don't just cook food. You got to babysit. You got to, you know, the fact that as a grown adult would call in sick and say, I have a headache, that would drive me insane. And I'm literally living my dream. My dream was to go to work, deal with food, and go home. And I was always working two jobs because I had to, you know, pay off bills, and I had a turntable habit and had to, you know what I mean? So I was already doing two jobs anyway, working all day long, where some people say, hey, man, get the title. That way you can work less. Well, I was like, well, I wasn't going to, I don't know. I just always was wanting to cook. That's my thing. And I don't want to do nothing with no paperwork. If that means I have to, for my happiness was cooking all day, and it was 14 to 16 hours, and I was happy. You know what I mean? Where, and that worked, no, it worked for me. So when I say I won, like, I'm the one that, you know, with, you know, with God's help, I was traveling and I was in and out the Beard House, and we opened up a restaurant that had a Michelin star, and I ended up doing pop-ups and festivals and styling people out and consulting. And so I had the bit, I got the most out of it. Just having, I had zero title and I got the most out of it. Did I get the most money? No, but guess what? I'm happy. And I, you know, I'm literally, I enunciated the T like that. I'm literally the third time living my dream. My dream is go to work, cook, and now I've gotten into editing. So I'm really a mess now. But yeah, I'm literally living my dream.
In your Brentflix videos, you pull back the curtain on a lot of kitchen dysfunction. What got you into doing that style? First of all, explain the video style and tell us how you got into it.
First of all, no restaurant in the world is perfect. Everyone has something, and there's different levels of, you know, carelessness. It could be the way something's labeled. It could be the way the tape is cut. It could be the rotation of sauce and stocks and whatever. There's always something going on in the kitchen, some major, some not major. So I've seen this all my career. But the restaurant I'm at now is the worst I've ever seen any kitchen I've ever been at. I told the chef, I made a promise to him that, you know, I want to be there till basically I couldn't quite leave. And then I was like, why is it that no one else is caring around here? And so it would always drive me insane. Like 5-6 years ago, I go into work, the tuna's not wrapped correctly, nothing's iced down, and it was driving me crazy every single day. And so what I ended up, you know, I bring it to people's attention, and no one seemed to care, and it was driving me insane. I started finding out that, because I was already posting things on social media because I got into it, how I got into it, and I'm like, you know what, these guys are not going to drive me crazy. I want to share my pain with the world, no matter what comes from it, because the restaurants I worked at before, we post the beautiful stuff. We post the great pictures. We post the apron with the chef's looking all good and stuff. You know, we post the good stuff, but the world doesn't see the bad. We have all these people going to culinary art school, and they don't know the real deal, I don't think. You know, and so what I want to do is let people know, hey, look, just because your Uncle Eddie said that you're a good cook, he only said it because he was hungry. And you cooked some spaghetti and meatballs. He said, oh, you should be a chef one day. And then he saw Emerald. He said, bam, a couple of times. And now you want to be on Chopped. And everyone, your aunt was like, oh, man, you should be on that show. You should be a chef. And all because it looks flashy on TV. In real life, there's some ugly stuff. So what I do is the very first episode of my wife videos, basically this is what happened. I was in someone took their gloves off in the the dry storage. Dirty gloves is left it there. And I'm like, what on earth? And I had labels in my hand. And so I just decided to, instead of picking everyone else's crap up all the time, driving myself crazy, I decided to put Y on it with a question mark on the, you know, the label date thing, the label. And I put Y on it, question mark, put it on the glove, and I left it. So now my style was like, anytime I saw something really backwards, I had the Y label and I would just put the sticker on, like, you know, the open Dijon mustard in the dry storage, right? Or the things are not closed right, or scoops in the, you know, the flour bin. I just put Y and I just put it on there. So when he or she came across it, they would like, yeah, you know, read the note, it says Y. I was like, okay, let me fix it. So that's how it started off. And then that video went very, very well. People in the comments were saying, yeah, I thought I was the only one that saw this in the kitchen, or that drives me crazy, or I've been there before. And so I just started this series. And from that day, like a year-ish ago till today, I've been seeing nothing but neglect and patheticness. And when I see it, I kind of call it out. But the restaurant I work at is so out of whack. No one seems to care. And when I post it, they think it's funny. So it's like, you guys aren't supposed to think it's funny. Y'all supposed to fix it. You know, like, this is, you know, why are you guys letting this stuff slide? And none of the management has no more spine. There's no courage left. There's nothing. And so even the main guy was like, oh, Brent, your videos are the funniest thing I've ever seen. Dude, it's your restaurant. I'm posting it for the world to see. It's not supposed to be funny anyway. So I have on my social media, where it says highlights, if he or she wants to look at the best of, I have Y number one and Y number two, and they can just go up. I think, no, it goes up to like four of them, I think. And they can just click on it and see what I go through for the last year and some change. And turns out I'm not the only one, but I just want to show the good, bad, and the ugly.
But Chef, you're there, you're seeing the issues, you're seeing all these things, you're putting them online. People are getting a kick out of it. You're still employed there. I mean, how come you just, I mean, I know you want flexibility, but how come you just don't take the place over, clean it up and get it moving?
There's the foundation's terrible. If I did that, I'd have no one on my side. We had a bunch of people. So this is what happened. That place was never like that before. And so everyone was strong. We had so much talent from New York restaurants to killer restaurants down here in Dallas. And there was a lot of people that cared. And then, like, once the main people stopped, they quit and they just kind of moved away or whatever. They started hiring anyone that walked through the door. So if I took it over, I'd be outgunned. I'd be overstressed. I'd lose my hair, my heart. There's time, you know, I'm outnumbered. Now I just can't just go to, in this situation, I'm deciding to stay. Actually, it's gotten a little bit better, too. It's like if I do a before and after video, you know, it's not as crazy because, you know, there's parts of the restaurant was really insane. But it's gotten a little bit better because people know when I walk around, they kind of like, oh, wait, hey, Brent, what did you see this time? You know, so they kind of fix it. I'm outnumbered. There's only a few of us that really, really care. And there was a time when they hired like five or six people with not that much experience. And the way they got hired was very, it's a long story how they got hired, and there's no passion behind it. So if I decided to tell people, like, even the other day, this guy's, tasting sauces with his fingers and double dipping back and forth to the hollandaise. And if I say something, I'm the bad guy and they don't want to listen. And it's really bad. Like, it's just what they say, the crazy people took over the asylum. So, I'm trying to build something right now, and I don't want to tell another job spot that, like, hey, I only got a month and a half left to only work here. So I'm just hanging out, trying to do the best that I can. But at the moment,
you've worked with Michelin star chefs, festivals and pop-ups. How's that range of experience shaped your view on really what the most important things in the kitchen are?
Yeah, I just realized that the most important thing is, I think, happiness for me. I've seen a lot of cool things from New York, different pop-ups over there, different dinners from the Beard House and all the way to California, all throughout Napa Valley multiple times. And I just noticed, like, I have the same access to the same ingredients. When you look at the back of from French Laundry Cookbook, 11 Madison Park Cookbook, they show you where to get their stuff from. And it turns out everyone here in Dallas has the same thing. So it's good to see a lot of different chefs make mistakes or kill it, you know, do a great job what they're doing. And I don't know. It let me know that I'm not that far off. Like I'm just as talented. There's times where I've cooked something where we're on the road and these people are coming back for seconds and thirds. And so it's, you know, when you talk like that, especially do festivals for like thousands of people and whatever. And these guys are like, hey, I have the longest line. It lets me know that I'm doing something right. And, you know, we're all, hey dude, it's all the same thing. Like when all these kitchens are the same, different players, different scenarios, but it's all the same. I don't know. From the things that I've learned and the things that I realized, like, you know what, like this guy right here is a James Beard Award winning chef, but he's miserable. This guy right here, he's got canned. This guy is Chef de Cuisine over here, but at this three Michelin restaurant, but he had enough. And so when I meet people on the road and all these different experiences that they have, we all sit back and we talk after the fact. And sometimes majority of them aren't happy. So I don't know. I've learned to, after meeting all these people and traveling, what makes you happy? What really makes you tick? Is it a taco stand? Do you want to do sling burgers? Are you a ramen type of guy? Because at one point when we left culinary art school, we thought that it was all about fine dining. And then you start meeting these guys after so long and they're tired of it, you know? And sometimes it took me to go on the road to talk to these people to realize what's really, really important. Some of these guys are like, you know, they're private chefs now, or they work at a country club. They're just over it. You know, they work at a hospital. They're just over the awards.
You've amassed a pretty large following on social media. There's clearly humor in what you do. What is your method for balancing what's actually important and happening in the industry and humor?
Well, I didn't know I was funny until I watched one of my live videos. I mean, I always had friends say that I was funny. But one day I went on Instagram Live and I was babbling, and I went back to play it, and I was like, oh man, I started laughing at my own jokes because I forgot half the stuff I was saying. So I was born this way. I grew up in church, you know, I believe in God, I want to go to heaven, you know, that kind of stuff. So I'm a dead serious person, and I'm a goofball. So if I have something to tell somebody that's very, very serious, there's probably some humor in there by default, maybe the way I deliver it, or maybe the way I compare something. I don't purposely like, okay, cool, let me insert a joke here and this will, you know, mail it out. It's just how I talk, you know? And so, that's just who I am, but it's very important to, let people know like, hey dude, it's not supposed to be this serious, you know, whatever you're into in life, especially like cooking for sure. Like, we're supposed to have fun. That's the core of it. Like, feel free to have fun. If you have a personality, feel free to show it. Some chefs are very, they're very strict and don't talk too much in the kitchen. And I was like, you're like, that's going to drive me crazy. But I think it's important to say what I'm saying. And if there's some humor in there, it kind of mellows out the intensity of it. Like it softens the blow a little bit, you know?
Well, how do you feel about celebrity chefs?
That's a horrible title because unfortunately, just because you're on television nowadays, you can be on Chopped one episode. People say, oh, I'm a celebrity chef. And then people in the city, they'll milk it. And then that person will get a bunch of catering gigs and they were the first one to go home. So you have like, you know, Guy Fieri was legit chef. Bobby Flay, legit chef. Like, you know, Gordon Ramsay, legit, like, you know. They cooked their brains out for years. Guy Fieri, well, I don't know, 15, 20 years, and the rest of them 20 years plus. So these guys are like notably like legit celebrity chefs, Emerald, legit, right? And then nowadays it's gotten carried away because as soon as someone gets on television or as soon as someone gets on TikTok and they have a few viral videos, they'll immediately change their profile to celebrity chef. And when they do that, it gets them more gigs. It makes them feel a certain type of way. And I don't, it's just terrible. Like, I wish that wasn't the case because I think the worst thing that happened to a cook really is those cameras. You know, like, I'm glad that we have TV entertainment with cooking and stuff like that on it. But nowadays, right when someone gets on TV, it messes, a lot of these chefs, it messes with their minds a little bit. They become Hollywood. You know, I've met a lot of people I refuse to name drop on my Instagram, but my goodness, there's a lot of people where being in front of the camera ruined them. And they're getting agents. They're paying for some of these guys are paying for followers. I'm like, dude, either you got it or you don't. Why are you paying? I'd rather earn it. Like, I haven't paid a dime on any of my social media platforms. I'm on jail. On two of them, they got me in jail. Instagram, I'm still kind of free a little bit. But, you know, I just don't understand, like, you're paying for this attention. You had the majority of these guys, 90% of these chefs you see on TV, that you see all the time, they're judging and they're all on some type of they're hosting or whatever. There's a whole agent. And those agents put those guys on to, you know, so I'm like, my goodness, like, I mean, are they doing anything wrong? No, but I just hate the fact that you'll meet a celebrity chef out and about and they'll just like look at you like they forgot what it was to wash dishes. You know what I mean? Like, some of these chefs have been on TV, they just forgot where they came from.
I know a guy who went on Food Network, you know, first one out, you know, hashtag celebrity chef on the profile. Yeah. Funny stuff.
Oh, boy.
Really funny stuff. I agree with you 100%. You have said in the past, everyone forgot the purpose of working with a chef. What does that mean?
Yeah, I think because when we were younger, it was like, you know, a lot of us wanted a mentor or we had one or there's a certain person we just had to work with or for. And a lot of these guys, we got on planes, we got in Uber, whatever the case was. We wanted to travel across the globe just to work with a certain chef. And I mean, of course, find out your own style. But like when we started cooking, we don't know everything. The whole purpose of me working with a guy for 20 plus years is just, you know, be quiet, be humble, say yes, chef, and just listen to what, you know, he or she had to say, you know, and to learn and absorb some of that game, you know, for two or three or four years, some people 15 years, and then they finally move on. But I think it's kind of cool to work with someone who, you know, that you respect, that has a good reputation, to like break down some things. Maybe there's some chefs, they know how to work the front of the house. They know how to like look at the seating chart. They know how to, you know, go about when you're calling out tickets and expediting. They know how to, when to fire certain things, when to mid-course some people, what to, you know, there's an example to look at. You know, some chefs, they can expedite and cook at the same time. And some chefs these days, they just expedite. And some chefs these days expedite, if that. They just literally walk around and they have their presence done. I was like, man, you guys forgot what it was to cook? Because I, as a kid, you just want to grow. I mean, I thought you just want to grow up and be a chef one day. And then you finally get these opportunities. And then they just love being behind the desk and walking around not working no more. But I think it's kind of cool for a young chef or someone young, someone's new into the industry. You could be 46 years old, 35, to just like work with a chef that's passionate. And if you do that, you can, there's a lot of benefits in that. You know, I've learned a lot from doing that, you know? So I think it's kind of cool to work with someone who's, you know, if I want to play guitar one day Jimmy Page and Slash are hanging out and they're about to go on the road and they need somebody. I don't know. It's kind of cool to have a jam session with them. Like, see how long just pick their brain a little bit, you know, and kind of develop your own style. You know, maybe your style is just to play the C chord the whole time. And that works because some of these country guys, they play the C chord and they have platinum records just off of three chords. And then you have people like Slash who that's not going to work for him. And so he does the whole solo. He does the whole, you know, he really rips it, you know, and he can find out like, okay, I like this chef a lot. I learned so much, but I'm not sure that's quite my style. Let me see what I want to do. You know, like, I don't know. I think it's kind of cool. But unfortunately, some people don't have an identity. They think that whatever the chef says is right. And then they end up copying and mimicking what the chef did. If that means yelling at people and throwing things and belittling them, and that's what they end up doing. And some don't. Some like, you know, I disagree with that. But yeah, I think it's kind of cool to work with somebody in your craft that has experience, and you know, you can learn a lot. You can't learn this on your own, really. You know, you can, but it's better if you have a dope chef to work with.
Chef Brent, you're an African American fellow.
I am.
You have one of your segments that you do on your channel is called Masterclass. I have to tell you, When I saw that, I think that was what prompted me to reach out to you to get you on the show, because I thought it was number one. It's the comedy part of it is amazing. And I just think it's terrific humor. I think what you do for delivery and intent with it is fantastic. Why don't you explain what that is exactly?
All right. So Brent Flicks was just me taking videos, manipulating things I saw off the internet. And if I posted anything in the kitchen, like those wide videos, it was just like a regular video. I'm hanging out. So the first Gerald Sunbright, according to Michelin, the first African-American with a Michelin star. I'm hanging out with him and another gentleman named Tyler that got the got Florida, got Orlando Knife and Spoon, the Michelin star. So I'm hanging out with them. And then I say, you know what? Because I was thinking about the master class that you're aware of, like, you know, Gordon Ramsay and all these guys and comedians and Steph Curry. They're talking about, like, how they do things. And it's called master class. So I was like, I have a lot of crap to get off my chest, right? So I was like, how about if I'm going to call my friend up, and he has the same birthday as I do. I'm going to call him up. I say, hey, man, can you take that master class and take that T out and put two S's in there? Like, master? And he didn't flinch. He just went ahead and did it. And he's white. And he did it with no problem whatsoever. And so master class is me, like, giving my two cents to get things off my chest. Because one point, I wanted to have a podcast just to talk about things I couldn't stand. Like, why are you saying Eggs Benny when you can clearly say Eggs Benedict? To me, just, I don't know. Just talk correctly. Like, you know, people are labeling chicken stock and it'll say CHX. And I'm like, yo, like, you know, you're bragging about all these books you have. You're talking about how you want to go to France so bad, but yet you sound like you work at a pool hall. Like, is there any way you can just talk correctly? So I have a lot of things in life I want to get off my chest, and majority of it's culinary. And I just decided to call it masterclass, you know, just playing around with what was going on and how letting people know that I'm different from the, you know, I'm low key. I'm the, what's that? There's a movie, Christian Slater, Pump Up the Volume. Yeah. And that's just what, you know, he had an underground radio show in his dorm room or whatever. And that's kind of like what I do, man. I put my camera up and I just mouth off for a minute and a half. Sometimes some are shorter, some are longer. And I just get things off my chest and I say what I got to say. I do it without cursing and I do it without name dropping. And I try not to put too many people on the spot, but I will say things that, like, people understand and relate with, you know. So masterclass is me being verbal, getting things off my chest, talking about things that people can relate with. And sometimes it's the cooking technique. It's a, you know, I'll show how I do a consomme. It can't go wrong. Like the tomato water run I did last week, that was pretty cool. I thought it was cool because I showed 7 different techniques in a tomato and how I flipped each one of them in for different results. So yeah, I don't know. It's just me having fun. If it gets really, really big, I probably got to change the logo. And I totally just took the masterclass logo and, you know, I glitched it, but yeah.
I think the name in and of itself, just what you're doing with it. Brilliant. I have to get you connected with my guy, man, Sean Rivera, we call him Pooch. And I think you two would get along like, probably too well. You know, we were going to, he and I were going to start a podcast, just like a for fun thing where the whole thing is spoken in old school hip hop phrases. Like everything would be something to do. And I, cause you know, you and I had a conversation the other day, in our pregame. And I think that you two would just, you guys would be hitting home runs left and right.
For sure. That's dope. I like it like that.
Yeah, for sure. I'm consider that done. You talk about faith. You talk about God. How do your beliefs shape the way that you move through the food world and handle all of these challenges?
Well, it's just, you know, when you read the Bible and you read Old Testament stories, you read Psalms and Proverbs, you read the parables and how Jesus did things, whatever. And if you're a believer, the idea is that, like, you know, you got to have some follow through at some point. You can't just read the Bible and go to church, clock in and clock out, and then be a heathen when you go to work. So what helped me out a lot at work is I mean, you know, we sit here and we talk about, well, we need to respect the ingredient, Mother Earth. No, God spoke that. Like, God, you know, look at the dragon fruit. Look at the lobster. Like, God spoke that. So it's like, it's kind of cool that you walk into that walk-in, you see all that produce. God spoke. God had everything to do with that. You know what I mean? And so it's like, it's kind of, it's an honor to cook God's, what God created, what God spoke. And, you know, and when I deal with impossible people, I, you know, there's times where before I clocked in, I had to read the Bible. I had to, you know, I had to have a small little church service. I had a CD with some acapella singing. I would put it in. I would listen to a few church songs, get my mind geeked up to deal with really evil, messed up people. And then I'd have to read something out of, I had to read something about turning the other cheek. I had to read, I believe it's Colossians. And there's another verse where it talks about, like, when your boss tells you, it says master, but when your boss tells you to do something, do it like if God told you to do it. So I'm about to clock into this job, work 4 p.m. to 12:30 in the morning, and it's filled with immoral, lazy, whatever it is, people. And so God is the only reason why I was able to work with impossible people. Like the guy I work with, right, I work for, he's really impossible. But the only reason why I mastered, I can work with him for this long, because everyone's like, how do you work with that guy for so long? Well, you know, I you have to read the Bible. You got to think about heaven. You got to pray a lot, you know. So the reason why I move the way I move is literally because I know that, you know, if you pray and be specific in prayer, you know, God will have my back. So I don't know. That's just how I appreciate what God has done. You know, God created all these people in work, and some of these people, they're crying out for help, you know, and I've had a lot of Bible studies at work. I've had a lot of, we had a lot of talks. I've shown things that we've made that God, you know, I was like, yeah, man, this is crazy. God created this, you know, and they, you know, so the reason why I can do this, I can work in this industry another 25 years is because of God. You know, if I wasn't reading something in the Bible before I clocked in, I'd be really screwed.
Amen. What advice would you give to young cooks who just genuinely feel burnt out? You know, they kind of hit the wall, maybe in a bad headspace. What do you do? What are you telling these cats?
Why did you cook to begin with? You know, because I cook because I love it. I love people, and you know, and I may not like where I'm at. And some places are really insane. And so there's no harm in, like, you know what? I got to leave up out of here. I can't finish my 1 year here. I got to protect my peace. Nowadays, we say mental health. But when you and me were growing up, it was on something like, we would just say, I got to take care of myself. I can't do it. Or we would say something of that nature. But you have to take care of yourself. So if you're burnt out, you know, there's no harm in, like, you know what? Let me just take a break from restaurants. Let me work at this butcher joint up the street. Let me fillet some fish. Maybe let me go to Whole Foods, or let me go to a grocery spot and just work behind the counter. I mean, do something totally different. Some people, they stop, they end up becoming security guards, and they take a break. You know, they fight from passion. They're construction. They play guitar the whole time, because you know you and me both seen a lot of chefs that had a whole different skill set outside of cooking. And some people was like, you know what? I need a break. There's no harm in taking a break. It could be a year, 2.5, 5 years. And the reality of the matter is, you can take a 10-year break. And when you come back, it kind of is like riding a bike on some level, you know? So if you're, you know, I have to cook. This is, I'm not going to be corny and be like, you know, because some chefs on TV, they'll say something stupid like, it's very spiritual for me. I want my food to hug you. My food is going to hug you. I don't know about all that, but I do know that, like, this is what makes me tick. I love the cook. I love the experiment. I love, I'm a mad scientist at heart. You know what I mean? And so I love being around food. I've been places before where I'm like, yo, I can't do this no more. I can always cook. Me personally, I can always cook. But sometimes it depends on who you're cooking with, because this is the best industry in the world. I don't see how anyone does anything else. On the flip side, it's the worst industry in the world if you have to deal with impossible people. So what you do is just there's no harm in leaving. You know, take a break. You know, if your wife has, I know a few people where their wife does very, very well. And Oda say, you know what, Brent, I had to take a break. I can't, I just, it was messing with my mind. I'm going to travel. My wife is a doctor at the such and such. I'm going to hang out with her a little bit and do some private chef work and take care of myself. Yeah. If you burnt out, or if you're just, there's this mindset of like, okay, cooking that's frowned upon if you give up. Like, you know, I don't want to quit because I don't want, what will my friends think of me? Look, take care of yourself. That's the most thing that's important. I can't speak for you, but I know for a fact you've seen some people burnt out to where they turn to drugs and they're drinking and they're different people. And there's a lot of, I lost a lot of chef friends. I had to make sure I don't start crying. Let's see here. 1 year I lost, I'm not going to talk numbers, but it's a lot of cooks. Playing with their nose, on and off drugs, drinking. I had a friend of mine, she drunk herself to death, you know. And if your job is causing you to drink and smoke all the time and turn to drugs, yo, do something else. Like, you know, like you can express, you don't have to be at a restaurant. You know what I mean? Like, do cater or something. Drop off some fajitas at the local daycare or something. Like, you know, express yourself some type of, you know, and nowadays people are cooking at home. They got a YouTube channel. There's no rules. Do what makes you happy. You know, I don't know. You have to do what makes you happy, and people want to cook for other people. And they're so obsessed with stupid awards. You know, I was like, well, I don't want to give up. I don't want my friends to think that I had sold out. Dude, it's okay. I had friends of mine that stopped what they were doing to work at a chain. And I just asked them a simple question. Hey, my man, are you good? Are you happy? Well, I mean, I sold out. Well, what do you mean? Well, I work at this such and such down the street, and it's a chain, and it's, dude, it's not selling out. You have a family, don't you? All right, then. Like, you know, you got to do what's best for your family. You know, like your kids don't care about no award. James Beard is dead. You know, those Michelin brothers are dead. It's a bunch of other people running it. You know what I mean? And it's business. We have to pay, what, Michelin $2.9 million to come down here to hand out awards because we had to have awards so bad. I don't care about no award. I had a Michelin star in my hand. And I didn't even post it. I had a picture. I was about to edit a post. I had a voiceover and everything. I scratched it. I was like, it's not even my core. I don't care. That doesn't make me happy. What makes me happy is cooking. This is what makes me happy. I was told to make family meal for banquets a week ago. I made it. I was nervous. I didn't know it. I didn't know it because I'm, you know, people hold me to a higher degree, you know, when I'm doing all these like Y videos and I call people up for their cooking techniques or whatever. I made something. And the dishwasher came back, like, Brent, he doesn't talk about food at all. He's like, Brent, man, that food over there was stellar. And he gave me their two thumbs up. Man, he was, I'd never seen him smile that hard ever. He was like, Brent, that was beautiful food, man. That's the best thing I've ever had out of here. You know what? That was my award. For someone to be like, yo, that's the best thing I've ever had, and I want it to go box, I want to take some of that home. That's what makes me happy. That's my thing right there. You know, I had to almost held back the tears because you said, like, I'm black, 6'3", 260-something pounds, and I had to hold back tears all because a dishwasher that was like 20 years old said, "It's the best thing I've ever had out of here." You know, and
hey,
I was humble.
Chef, we all want to have some acceptance. We all want to have some, you know, backslaps. Everybody does, even though sometimes not everybody, but, you know, you, me, a lot of others, we do have a rough exterior, and we did grow up with people saying, suck it up. Don't be a sissy. Do it this way. Do it that way. It was definitely a different time than we're living in now. And, you know, at the end, bro, listen, if you have to have the feels, it's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. And by the way, if there's anybody listening out there that does need any resources or help, or, you know, in terms of, you know, mental health awareness, check out the burntchefproject.com. These cats are great. And they're from Europe. They're coming over here to North America, and they just provide so many resources for so many people in our industry specifically. So, you know, with that said, Chef, like, you're a big dude. Shed a tear, baby. It's okay.
Oh, no, I have no problem crying. And I was just making a point, like, because I was trying to keep it cool. That's all I was trying to say. Post on my Brent on my masterclass about, hey, it's okay to cry. I say that I have a Cowboys jersey on. I say, hey, it's okay to cry. And I say, if you need help crying, I have some video footage for you. If I remember, I'll share that post with you when we're done with this. But I have some videos, some go-to videos of, yo, it's okay. We're a whole human. Let's cry. You know what I'm saying? Like, I say hold back the tears, but I was like, It was a touching moment, you know, that's all. And there's no harm in dude, a dog needs acceptance. A dog wants encouragement. A dog wants to be noticed. So if a dog wants to be noticed, what do you think a human wants? You know, my issue with those goofy awards is that, you know, is that really what's important? Because I've seen these guys get these awards and it messes with their brain if they don't get the same award the next year, or they go from 3 stars to 2 stars, it messes with them. And there's quite a bit of chefs that they call the Michelin guys, say, hey, don't bother, come over here, don't rate us, don't do nothing, we're not interested, you know. And I personally don't move that way. Some people, they feel like, because the reality of the matter is, they get an award and at first they take a bunch of pictures and they post it on their social media thing. It could be from Michelin, James Beard, an Emmy, an Oscar, Tony. It could be all those things. As soon as they win it, it's posted. And people, we want our peers to be proud of us. But on the flip side, I want my heart to be proud of me. I don't want to be like, you know, high blood pressure and, you know, hate the industry all because I'm trying to, you know, make my colleagues and my you know, mentees and mentors happy. You know, and I think it can mess with your mind a little bit. And with me, the way I'm wired, I just don't think that's extremely important. I come from winning places, man. I've worked at restaurants where we just had 5-star, you know, diamond and all these awards and plaques on the wall and best of this and best that. And I'm so used to it, right? So to me, it's different restaurants, different situations. But I just don't, that shouldn't be what drives you. And some people, cooking drives, people cook for the wrong reasons. And I think, it's kind of cool to go back to the core of what you cook for. And it shouldn't be over an award, but that's just my 2 cents.
Well, I'll tell you what, I don't disagree with you. I will tell you that John and I, John is my number two here at Walk and Talk. He's also our resident, you know, badass photographer, food photographer.
Nice.
We went to a Michelin restaurant in Orlando called Camille. Mm-hmm. And Chef Tung, who's over there, this guy is amazing. So that was my first time experiencing how a Michelin level chef operates. And I'm talking about, okay, you know, we were there for a photo shoot and to do some video work and whatnot. Honestly, the guy was a machine, and every action had a purpose. And every action had something to do with cleaning as you go and building and beautiful and being clean and having the system and being clean again. Like, like, I'd never seen that before. I mean, I've worked with great chefs. Yeah. I mean, I've worked with literally thousands of chefs and I've seen a lot, but not like that. And I don't know if it was just because we were there with the cameras or whatever, but like at the end of the day, man, like, what these cats are doing is serious. So if chasing a star or beard pushes somebody to do that kind of work, I mean, I admire that. Although I do understand what you're saying about, like, you know, just chasing it to chase it or whatever, but people have different motivations, and I don't begrudge anybody who goes after it, you know, who wants to do that. I guess, you know, if you're happy being a creative and making beautiful dishes and having the dishwasher give you an attaboy and a smile, Man, that's it is beautiful. I mean, it's a great feeling. And if somebody else is, you know, looking for some other level of feeling by chasing, you know, some sort of an award, more power to them, as long as they don't hurt themselves doing it, or you know, cast their family to the side, or their friends, or themselves for that matter, to the side in order to get there.
And I've seen a lot of that. I think that's a percentage of, I guess I'll explain that better. I've seen a lot of that, and I'm pretty sure you've seen that too, where things are just like, you know, one dude, he came back, he came to work one day looking crazy, and they say, what happened to him? And they say, he went home yesterday, and she took everything, kids, you know, all the furniture, he took off because he loved work and food more than he loved, you know, the family. And sometimes we forget about balance. We forget about, like, you know, we're not supposed to be spending life this way, you know, 6-7 days a week and these long, crazy hours, and our family and our kids are suffering and all that kind of stuff. I don't have any kids. I'm just saying, I've sat back and seen people where their life are getting just tortured. And then what happens is the majority of the people that there's a lot of Michelin-starred chefs or chefs that work in Michelin restaurants. They're like, you know what? We just want to take a step back. We want to have a chicken spot. We want to have a sandwich joint. Yeah. We're over it. We're done. You know, and these guys, the majority of these guys say the same thing. It's like, dude, it was just too much. A lot of people say it was just too much, you know, especially if you don't have the right kind of team, they just won't even do it. You know, so I've seen, and you've seen it too, like when they stop and just open up a ramen spot.
I was just going to say ramen spot. You totally was reading my mind right there. Totally read my mind.
Yeah, no, it's gonna be, you know, because you've seen it. Like they want to do something casual. Thomas, because the food that we eat after work, it ain't no caviar. And don't get me wrong, sometimes there's a caviar tin somewhere and we're all doing bumps. But it's like, you know, there's a lot of chefs that when we get through cooking at that nice restaurant and all that white table linen and all of our expensive stuff, we go somewhere and we're getting greasy burgers. Even on a day off, we're going to a restaurant that's like, you know, after work, we're going to eat some, we're getting fast food, we're eating greasy tacos, greasy pizzas. And it seems like that's what makes chefs happy. So if you notice, Thomas Keller opened up Ad Hoc, you know, Dana Ballou did that burger joint. Grant Atkins opened up the low-key, Royster, where they kind of do the food they do over there. It's nice food, but it's a step back a little bit, you know. And then it got to the point where the casual made more sense. And if you notice, a lot of three Michelin restaurants, they kind of fine dining restaurants, they're like, you know what, let's just be a little bit more approachable. Some spots were like, hey, look, you can't eat here without a jacket. And they kind of stripped that mindset away. No one does it no more. You know, I'm pretty sure there's places that do it. But and some of these Michelin dudes, they just stopped what they're doing. They had enough, and they're on a boat. They're private chefing. One dude I know, he does nothing but pasta videos and bread videos. He does the whole food, you know, he does the whole, hey guys, today I'm making donuts and come with me as I go on a wild ride to Sugar Town. I'm like, oh crap. But you know, that person, that's a person's way out, I guess. You know, he or she, that's what they're doing. You know, they're doing like, hey guys, welcome to my school where I teach you today how to make canals. I was like, crap, you know, but that makes them happy. They're done. They want to take matters in their own hands. So you got to protect your peace. And if we're burnt out, the cook, okay, maybe you need to cook somewhere else. Take a break. I know people that worked at French Laundry, and they stopped what they was doing to work at a hash type of house, you know, like Waffle House type of spot, because they needed a break. Take a break. There's more to life than caviar and foie gras. I think it's probably, I need to be a shirt.
Let's do it. Yeah, let's go.
Yeah. There's more to life than, you know, but at the same time, we think that's the ultimate style of cuisine. But guess what? There's a long line of people at a barbecue joint. Long line of barbecue croissant, donuts, yeah, tacos, listen, burgers, pizza.
Some of the
long
best
breakfast joints.
Some of the best food photography that we've done have been badass, beautiful sandwiches. And that's the truth.
Correct.
Yeah, it's just what it is. You got to tell me, what is next for you? Is it more pasta videos? Are you going to do apparel? I mean, is it just comedy, which I think you should probably stick with the comedy a little bit. We need more of that. But what's next for you, man?
Everything you just said, Today I posted a souffle video that I was really happy with. So more souffle videos, more bacon. My goal is to let people know how easy it is and not to overthink things. I would love to have a talk show like a David Letterman, like late night, Conan O'Brien, like late night show. That'd be dope.
Well,
that's
maybe
my dream.
Maybe
be a chef with a late night show.
Maybe we can do something together on that. I would be, I think, blessed to put it together.
Let me know.
How do we? Yes. How does everybody find you?
Well, my name is Brent Weathers. So if you Google that, things will pop up. But Brent Eats Food is my Instagram. And I think Brent Flix is my TikTok, and Brent Weathers is my Facebook, and Brent Weathers is YouTube as well. So yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. I'm going to sign up for a masterclass, and we're gonna get down with it. Look, it was really great having you on the program today. We're gonna do more with you. Stay on the line, and I'm gonna catch you here shortly. Okay.
Look forward to it, man. Thank you.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.